Diary, February 1896. February 9th to 27th, 1896. Sunnyside, Currumbong, New South Wales. May Lacey White, Mabel White, Sister Davis and I visited Sister Lacey's. Her husband, May's father, is in Sydney. We returned with some flower roots to set out, planted apart that night. Brother and Sister Hughes, two of their daughters, and Fanny Bolton came to our place. Fanny expected to leave the next day, but caught the heel of her shoe on coming downstairs, sprained her ankle again, and it is decided she cannot go on her journey. Brother Sherman came to see Willie. This day was one of great activity, with the unpacking of goods and the preparation of a place for W.C. White to make a temporary home for his family, for the present, by use of a tent and laundry rooms. I have had feelings of exhaustion today, and not a little perplexity of mind over the case of Fanny. She wishes to come back to work for me, but I have felt it impossible. I know not of any special change wrought in her that I dare trust her, and yet my mind is troubled exceedingly. Shall I feel altogether clear that I have divorced her from the work? Shall I be prepared to meet the result of this course of action on my part in that great day when the judgment shall sit and the books be opened? I arose at 4:30 a.m. At 5, I was at work, spading up ground and preparing to set out my flowers. I worked 1 hour alone, then Edith Ward and Ella May White united with me, and we planted our flowers. Then we set out 28 tomato plants, when the bell rang for morning prayers and breakfast. I think I have received no harm from my vigorous exercise, but feel better for the work done. After breakfast, I read manuscript, 2 short chapters on the life of Christ. Brethren Hughes and Brandstater, and his son, kindly offered to transplant my cauliflower, and received 75 plants to set out in his grounds. I consider they have done me a special favor. Grounds are prepared for vegetables to be put in, potatoes, beans, peas, and other things. W.C. White and Mabel drew dressing, mulch or fertilizer, in a little cart from barnyard to garden, but then it became too dark to see how to work. Tuesday morning, I rose at 3:30 and again wrote a little in my diary. Worked some in the orchard, tying up the trees. A tuft of grass is put between the stake and the tree, so that the tree shall not be marred. At 5, Willie and I walked down to our garden, which is some distance from the house, and planted peas. We worked until 7 a.m. and were prepared for our morning family prayer and for breakfast. I felt too weary to do more out of doors. We planned about many things that must be done on the ground. In the afternoon, Brother and Sister Prescott came up. We had a long talk. I read important matters to them. Our conversation was profitable. We could see some matters in a clearer light. The problem of studies in our school was canvassed. I had matter, written some time ago, but could not find it till books were unpacked. Wednesday, February 12th, 1896. Rode to Currumbong with Sister Belden. We purchased some articles for the furnishing of their home, and were glad to find these articles were cheaper than we expected. The articles answered the purpose well. Brother and Sister Prescott rode up with us. Awoke in the morning at 4:00. Commenced writing. Found some special writings, dated 1874. Very important instruction in them. I'm writing out some things upon education to go in next mail. Rain has been falling, some every day. Our settling is going forward. There is work being done to complete Willie's house, which is very humble, but will be comfortable. Everything is in activity about the premises. Brother Whiteman, Brother Richardson, and Robert McCann are at work upon the cistern. They have to wait for brick, and this hinders them. Brick has to be drawn from the school grounds, where they are making good brick, better than they can obtain in Sydney. Brother McCann and Willie are cutting through a road from our location to school grounds, so that we can draw lumber and brick from the grounds and save 2 miles travel.
In the afternoon,
Professor Prescott and wife again visited me in my room. We had a long talk in regard to the management of school matters. As questions were asked, the Holy Spirit revived many things in my mind, and I could tell them the way many matters concerning our educational interest had been presented to me. We are to lay the situation of dearth of means before the whole school, and then make known the Lord's plan as presented to me. In place of devoting time to inventing amusements to use their muscles, they can strengthen nerves and muscles to good advantage in the work that needs to be done on the school grounds. If we shall be compelled to hire the work done, the price of tuition must be increased. Every student may consider it to be his privilege to have a part in saving means they would pay for hiring work done that they themselves can do. Earning their expenses is to be considered a part of their education. Every student is to exercise brain and bone and muscle. Here is the education of the whole man, right on the ground, an education essential for all, for there is work for all to do. I wake at 2:30 and seek the Lord, as is my practice, for wisdom and grace, mingling my prayers with thanksgiving for his tender, loving compassion toward us. The words of Isaiah 40, verse 28 to 31, seem appropriate and impressed upon my mind. Study this chapter prayerfully, and chapter 50. My prayer is, help me, O my heavenly Father, to trust wholly in thy wisdom, and not to lean to my own understanding. Guide thou my pen, and direct my speech, that I shall not sin against thee with voice or pen. I must have grace. I plead, teach me thy truth, that I shall not err from thy way. O my Lord, I am weakness itself, but thou art strength, fortitude, and courage to thy people, if they will only diligently make thee their trust. We have too small faith, altogether too small. My cry is, Lord, help my unbelief. Professor Prescott came to see me and read several letters to me in regard to the highest education in our schools. One was from Professor Griggs. We had some important matters to consider. Friday noon we had a thunderstorm, and there was a heavy downpour of rain. We fear bridges will be overflowed if this rain continues. Workmen can do nothing, for it rained heavily all the afternoon. But this forbidding work out of doors brings us together to study how everyone should work interestedly for the benefit of the physical, mental, and moral influence, for the lasting future good of our school. The Lord is good and merciful. I want my gratitude offering constantly ascending to God. I long to have a deeper sense of his goodness and of his changeless love. I long daily for the waters of life. I know that God wants me to receive strength from him, that I may strengthen others by the light he gives me in representations. I must continually have my strength in God. My dependence must not waver. No human agency must come between my soul and my God. The Lord is our only hope. In him I trust, and he will never, no, never, fail me. He hath hitherto helped me when under great discouragement, because of pressures of outward circumstances. I have often been reminded that we must individually cultivate thanksgiving and praise to God. There is altogether too little praise offered to God. But it shall not be so. I will thank the Lord and praise his holy name. I will praise the Lord that in him I can trust at all times. He is the health of my countenance and my strong tower into which I can run and be safe. He understands my necessities, and he will give me the light of his countenance, that I may reflect light upon others. I will not fail nor be discouraged. I look to thee, my heavenly Father, to give strength and grace, and to lift up upon me the health of thy countenance. I will praise the Lord at all times, and not wait for a happy flight of feeling. Then praise the Lord, for he is good, and his mercies will attend me morning, noon, and night. A happy flight of feeling is not evidence. His word is my assurance. I arise at 3:30 and make every effort to prepare my mail to leave Monday morning for America. I was charged not to allow my mind to be confused, but to study carefully, Isaiah chapter 51, and let my mind be impressed with the instruction that is in this chapter, the first 11 verses.
The Lord God understands, and he will work, if his people will conform their minds to the direction of the word of the Lord God which I have given them, that they may move carefully. Let them go forward and cultivate the powers of mind and soul and body. The instruction the Lord has given is to improve by exercise. God says to everyone, go forward and cultivate every capacity of the mind and increase every gift of ability. The world is teeming with new human inventions. We are ever to bear in mind that God would have every soul receive his words of instruction and continually increase in efficiency. I arose early to close up the mail. I wrote a letter to Brother Tate and sent several letters written with my own hand to Edson White. I was led out to write to Brother Tate, and the Lord let his Holy Spirit rest upon me. My pen traced the words very rapidly, and we succeeded in getting it copied, and then I had a breathing spell. I could let down a little from the pressure. The Lord grant that I may this day be wholly his, this day speak and write and do the work essential as a Christian. We cannot serve him with the whole heart unless our will and our way are surrendered to God and his word, and his way are chosen as the best and the only safe course to pursue. The breaking up team came today to plow our land. There are 7 yoke of heavy oxen with an immense plow to cut through the roots of the eucalyptus. It was interesting to see how obedient are the dumb animals to the word of their master. I noticed the strongest-looking ox, one of the leaders, had on a leather blinder such as is worn by horses. I asked the meaning. The master of these animals said that he had often to look after the oxen near the plow and watch for strong roots, and that this ox, if he knew his master was not watching him, would shirk his duty. He put blinders on so the ox could not see that his master was not close beside him, but at a distance. He would suppose his master was nigh and would do his work, that he was fully able to do. I thought, this is a lesson to all who claim to be Christians. How many are eye servants? If they have a sense that the eye of God is upon them, they will conduct themselves as if in view of the whole universe of heaven. If the eye is taken off from Jesus, how soon the work testifies to the same. May the Lord help us to be watchful, prayerful, and faithful under all circumstances. I thank the Lord I was able to sleep until 4:15. I am thankful for every hour's sleep I obtain, for the reason that I can gain refreshment to do better work. I wrote some things after seeking the Lord in prayer. After breakfast, there were things that required attention. The creek has risen and covered some of my tomatoes that were sown on the banks of the creek as an experiment. Brother Connell has dug a ditch to conduct the water from the land to the open creek, and the water has been pouring through the channel for some time. The ox team is taking away great logs from near the house. It takes 2 men to hold the plow, breaking up, and another to follow and, with a pickaxe, cut away the roots of the trees that obstruct its passage. Sarah McEnterfer and I prepared curtains to cover the shelves in my room, which reach from floor to ceiling and answer as bookshelves, and a place to store papers and other goods. In the afternoon, Brother and Sister Prescott came. We had a good visit with Sister Prescott. Brother Prescott was with Marion in the interest of the book Life of Christ. He is reading it, for it is the last reading before publication. Willie is free, now that the mail has gone, to get himself comfortably arranged in his close quarters. They seem to be comfortably situated. The cistern is now bricked up, and it is now to be cemented. This will be a great treasure to obtain water to be kept for drinking purposes, and is so large it will not fail us if we have drought. We have 5 large iron tanks beside. Wells are uncertain and are obtained at great expense. The drought last year lasted from February until the next December. We had only a slight occasional shower. Boxes of peaches came from Sydney. We need them. We are often having a shortage of fruit. Sunnyside, Avondale, New South Wales. I awoke at 2 o'clock. Could not sleep longer. Arose and commenced writing at 2:30. I am so thankful I can use my eyes. Often, however, I am compelled to bind up the left eye.
We rode out in our platform wagon with Brother and Sister Prescott. While riding, I read important matter written to Battle Creek, addressed to Elder Olson, in reference to some things that they were managing all wrong. Both W.C. White and Brother Prescott were so much surprised at the revelations made. I was more than surprised that Brother Prescott had not an understanding of these things that have been going on in Battle Creek.
What does it mean?
We must all be wide awake, else the enemy will take advantage of circumstances.
Words were spoken. Watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Mark 14, verse 38. Things are being swayed in wrong lines. There are long journeys that should be avoided. The time and money thus spent will be needed to do continually in our large cities the work that means so much to those who have never heard the reasons of our faith. As I have labored since 1843 and 1844, I have felt so thankful that the Lord has permitted time to last to do more fully the missionary work that was needing to be done to warn our cities. Oh, our wise Heavenly Father made the infinite sacrifice of His only begotten Son. He gave Him to our world, that the world might, through the merciful provisions made, accept the Word, Bible truth, and prepare for the great event of His coming. That which caused the believing church so much sorrow in their disappointment in the time of His coming has been a reason of thanksgiving for the delay. Now the angels of God are preparing the way for the truth to reach all nations. There are thousands in the cities, in the byways and the highways, to hear the warning message. Are we awake? Do we understand there is a world to have the warning? The cities are all to be worked diligently. We must arouse and do a great work. There are many more to hear the last warning message to a perishing world. We have no time to delay, for Satan is doing his best to destroy souls. I now praise God for His long and merciful forbearance. The message has been carried to many countries. It is a worldwide message. There is most diligent work to do to warn our cities. We have had opportunity to send the light to many thousands who have rejoiced in the truth and sacrificed their time and their means to build up the sanitariums and churches in all parts of America. Schools have been established, and new fields are opening, many in new countries. The work at times has moved slowly because of dearth of means, and in various places the work has not been done that the Lord Jesus has signified should be done, to bring the light before all people. It is for the need of the Holy Spirit that many more places are not hearing the last message of warning. It is the unconsecrated elements that need to be aroused to consecrate themselves and become qualified to do most earnest work. Angels are waiting to fit up converted men and women to do this work if they will consecrate their whole heart, mind, and soul to the work. We have no time to lose. I am instructed it is the human agencies in our world that need to be corrected and converted, and to walk and work humbly with God, to be laborers together with God. There are those who work in their own self-importance and spoil the blessed representations the angels would make through them if they were humble and prayed more and talked less. The Lord Jesus is dishonored. The truth, Bible truth, if lived, if obeyed, will sanctify the soul, and all such will bear fruit. Sunnyside, Avondale, New South Wales. I arose early, a great while before day, and sought the Lord in prayer. I want to understand my duty in regard to how far I ought to try to please others at great expense to myself and my horses. There is a proposition to be one of a party to take Brother Romero and his mother in my carriage, drawn by my horses, about 10 miles up a mountain road. I am informed the road is very bad. Working the roads in this country is not conducted as in America. They always calculate to make a safe passage for travelers, but they do not do this careful work here. They move recklessly in their work, and if travelers pass over the road, they are supposed to get over at their own risk. Brother Romero has a position in the Echo office. He is reliable and is a hard-working man. He has worked too constantly, days and nights, and he is sick. Word came by letter that Brother Romero was suffering with neuralgia. His mother proposed to pay his expenses from her own, not too well-filled, purse, and she would accompany him to Sydney. They would visit Currumbong and asked for our carriage to meet them at the station at Morisset, which we did. The proposition was made by someone that we compose a party, Brother and Sister Prescott, and his niece and little lad Lewis, and sisters Rousseau and Mills and I, to accompany them in our carriage and take the party in from Melbourne.
Let Friday morning come into consideration as the last of the 6 days of labor, and have Friday a day of binding off, not accumulating work. This day is preparation day. We would come up to the Sabbath with our work closed up in proper shape and not dragging into the Sabbath. We must commence in the morning to look after every piece of clothing if we have neglected to do this through the week, that our garments may be neat and orderly and comely to appear in the place where God's people assemble to worship Him. There must be no garments left to be pinned together, to supply the stitches which should have been taken the day before. Entering upon new business should be avoided, if possible, but endeavor to close up the things already started that are half accomplished. Prepare everything connected with the household matters, so that there shall be freedom from worries, and the mind be prepared to rest and to meditate upon heavenly things. There needs to be much more close investigation of the week past. Review it and see if, as a branch of the living vine, you have drawn nourishment from the parent vine to bear much fruit to the glory of God. If there has been feverish excitement, if hasty words have been spoken, if passion has been revealed, these have surely been the working on Satan's side of the question. Clear the heart by confession. Sincerely make everything right before the Sabbath. Examine your own selves, whether ye be in the faith. We need to guard our own souls constantly, lest we make a great profession, but, like the flourishing fig tree spreading its branches in pretentious foliage, reveal no precious fruit. Christ is hungering to see and receive fruit. Leaves of profession without fruit are to Christ just as worthless as those of the fig tree which he cursed. The Lord is waiting to behold in his followers that which they have learned of him.
Learn of me, said Jesus, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Matthew 11, verse 29 and 30. The humble dependence upon God, the faith that takes him at his word and trusts him at all times and under all circumstances, is the wearing of the yoke of Christ. The Christian brings all his passions under control to God. Then, if the thoughts are brought into captivity to Jesus Christ, there is a healthful growth in beauty and grace of character. Said Christ, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. I am the vine, ye are the branches. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. John 15, verse 1, verse 1, 2 and 5. That unpruned branch may have looked good to human eyes, but the eye of one who never slumbers nor sleeps leaves it not alone to die of discouragement. The husbandman pruneth it, that it may produce fruit unto life eternal, revealing a faith that works by love to God and purifies the soul. Whenever professed Christians are constantly flaunting their leaves of profession before the eyes of others, there is no real fruit to the glory of God. Their religious life and experience seem satisfactory to themselves. They have exaggerated emotions, effusive expressions of fervor, and highest exaltations. Their religion consists largely in feeling and excitement. There is very little in their own souls that corresponds to their profession of faith. Self is their ideal of perfection. They value more the outward impression they make upon others than the inner which is hidden with Christ in God. Let everyone who would reveal Christ by being a doer of his word become rooted in Christ Jesus, rooted and grounded in the truth. Put away all self-assertion. Let living and acting the lessons of Christ Jesus speak of your perfect obedience to Jesus Christ. Let the fruit bearing be seen. The formation of the character must go on day by day, hour by hour. The inward working of the Holy Spirit is revealed outwardly in the appearance of fruit, ripening and perfecting to the glory of God. The inward life speaks in the outward action, in the producing of rich fruit. This is showing forth the praises of Him who hath called them out of darkness into His marvelous light. If the Lord Jesus is formed within, the hope of glory, the life will be rich in good works, corresponding with the truth which they profess to believe. I could not sleep after 2 o'clock. I sought the Lord in prayer and then tried to write. The rain fell softly all day. The creek is rising. We fear the water may overflow our garden. We have tomatoes we are just now enjoying from the vines. We hope not to lose them. The atmosphere is very depressing. We feel little strength because there seems to be no vitality in the atmosphere to revive us.
Not much work could be done Sunday. Willie invited to his tent home brethren Roberts and Bula. They are from Newcastle. Brother Roberts has within a few months accepted the truth. Brother Bula has been engaged in canvassing in Newcastle, 20 miles from here. These brethren slept in W.C. White's office, my front room, sat at our table for breakfast, and were with us in morning worship. There seems to be no place to entertain visitors. We will have to shoulder this burden largely, as we have done fully in Granville, New South Wales. We are the Lord's missionaries, and we must not complain, even if our important work of writing must be interrupted. But the people need the matter I am preparing. Many that are sick come to Currumbong to change their surroundings. We are trying to gather means for a small sanitarium in Avondale. We shall have it, for we need it. We have to distribute our visitors the best way possible. The Lord will see our necessities, our dearth of means. Those of all nationalities come for help, and if we have a sanitarium in running order, the sick can be treated, and there will be healthful results without the use of drugs. They leave in health. They tell others what a blessing they have received, with no questionable drugs to affect their system. Then others will be helped. A spirit of inquiry is aroused, and the Lord makes these institutions the means for the conversion of souls. We are thankful this morning that there is prospect of a cessation of rain. A large amount of rain has fallen,
much damage must be the result. We turn water into the cistern from the tanks today. Brother Whiteman expects his wife, accompanied by Sister Radley from Castle Hill. We sent our horse and carriage to the station to bring them up. They designed to spend 2 weeks here on a visit. Tops of trees are being cut off, for there is danger of winds so swaying the tops of these high trees as to break them down and do damage to the house. This day I can gather strength to do scarcely anything. Sister Lucas came from Sydney to remain with us several weeks and help us in our sewing. We are missionaries, and the Lord understands our every necessity. There is need of a physician right here in Avondale, but how can we support one is the question. Families in every direction are looking to us for help. Sarah is sent for in the night. She rides horseback 5 or 6 miles to give treatment to the souls and bodies of the suffering ones, yet they realize not benefit. The Lord will help us if we will rely upon His word. Will we bring our sick to the Lord in faith? Our health institutes must be increased. We must walk out on faith and follow the Lord's plans in the simple means He has provided under the physicians who have knowledge, who know how to treat the sick. I am very thankful to the Lord. I have slept until past 5 o'clock. This is an unusual circumstance. In the night, the atmosphere seemed so close I could scarcely obtain vitality to breathe. I sought the Lord for His watch care and His grace that I may be kept in quietude and peace through this day. Our family numbers 12. We wish to have the grace of Christ in our hearts expressed in words and in our actions. I was led out in prayer to pray most earnestly for the Holy Spirit's guidance through the day. It is misting again. The weather is disagreeable. We must bring more sunshine into our own hearts and reveal the patience of Christ. The stove has been moved in the kitchen for the chimney to be built for the stovepipe. We have had the smoke filling our kitchen when the wind was in a certain direction. The chimney has come nearly to the iron roof. Now the rain comes again and the work cannot proceed. Thus the kitchen is all disarranged in order to build the chimney, which cannot be completed, and we must permit our niece, Sarah Belden, to labor under difficulties. I awoke at 12 o'clock p.m. and could not sleep. I decided to dress and see if I could write. I commenced to write at 1:15 and continued until 7 a.m. I have written 10 pages of letter paper before breakfast. It continues to rain, and much rain has fallen during the night. I have some matters upon my mind in regard to the soon coming of our Lord in the clouds of heaven, and I am tracing upon paper that which I am impressed to write. I was unable to sleep past 2 a.m. My heart is oft-times oppressed. I long for the wisdom which God alone can give me. I feel deeply the responsibilities resting upon me. Oh, for physical and mental strength to do my whole duty and yet not be presumptuous. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. John 15, verse 8.